Welcome to In the Middle. I'm Joey Block. We have a lot to get to, so let's get right in the middle of it. Election day is nearly upon us, and all eyes are on the state legislative races this year. A lot of issues are weighing on voters' minds as they go to the polls, including offshore wind. There's a big update that happened this week. We have to talk about this. Danish energy company Ørsted is pulling out of a controversial plan to develop offshore windmills off the coast of the Jersey Shore. So all across the Jersey coastline, there was supposed to be these Ørsted wind projects that were happening, these wind farms. Well, they're getting scrapped. Ørsted CEO says it's due to supply chain issues leading to delays in the project schedule and ultimately rising interest rates. Well, Governor Murphy was not happy about this at all. He blasted the decision, saying it was outrageous and, quote, calls into question the company's credibility and competence. I have directed my administration to review all legal rights and remedies and to take all necessary steps to ensure that Ørsted fully and immediately honors its obligations, close quote. This comes after the state legislature passed a $1 billion subsidy for the project. So all the big Democratic leaders in Murphy gave all this money at this company so that they would, in fact, do this project. Now, their argument is, oh, well, you know, we didn't give them the money up front. In fact, that in the contract that the state has a $300 million clawback. So now the state is going to try and implement this. And of course, the plan was already starting to see some erosion in public support, with just 54% of residents approving of offshore wind, down from 84% in 2011. So as you see here, a decade has gone by and there was a 30% drop. Only one offshore windmill project remains on the table in the state of New Jersey. There's other ones that Ørsted is doing in Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, but in Jersey, they're done. But there is one company that's still in business here running this whole project that is going to be still in action. That would be Atlantic Shores. They still have one project that they're working on, but that company too says it's feeling economic strains. So the question is the state legislature going to jump in and try and rescue this project, or are they going to let it go? Because some people put their political lives on the line in order to make this happen, as we're going to see play out this coming Tuesday, whether the Democrats and even some Republicans who jumped on board this, which most did not, are they going to get any blowback for this at all? Or is this going to be a non-issue? Now, here's what we're getting in the middle of this week. Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman has introduced a bill that would strip our own Senator Bob Menendez of his committee assignments. He also wants to prevent him from obtaining classified information. Because although he has stepped down from member of the Foreign Relations Committee, he is still the head. He's still on the Foreign Affairs Committee right now. He is still on it. And as he said in that interview with NJ Spotlight News last week, he says he can still access it whenever he wants. He just didn't feel like it. Fetterman's making the case that, he shouldn't have access to any of this at all. Well, this comes as the race for his seat, although he hasn't said whether he's going to announce or not, run for re-election or not, is intensifying. This race is intensifying. Multiple candidates have and are expected to jump into this race on both sides. And there's a number of people who are considering, even our own First Lady, Tammy Murphy. We're expecting some big announcement coming from her soon. We're going to keep an eye on that. We already have Congressman Andy Kim is also running. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, talk about his campaign. So there is a race going on in that. And on the Republican side, you have a number of people running too. Join me now is one of them, Republican candidate and MENA mayor, Christine Serrano Glasner. Mayor Glasner, thanks for coming on.
It is my pleasure, Joey. I really enjoy being on and having this opportunity to share my views with people.
You're currently running for Senate. What made you decide to run?
You know, I've been thinking about it for a while. I'm the mayor of my town. I love my town. I grew up here. I moved my family back here because it was such a great place to grow up, and I wanted my kids to have that opportunity. My husband and I did. And, you know, then what do? You get involved with your town, and people said, you've got to be the mayor. So I stood up, and I ran for mayor, and I love running it. It's like running a small business, but you don't get paid. And that's okay because you do it for passion. And then I started watching what was going on in this country and what was going on in New Jersey. And I said, boy, something's not right here. Things are not at all the way it should be. They're not the way people expect life to be, right? People work hard, they save, they want to send their kids to college. They want to prepare for their own retirement. They want to, you know, prepare for a wedding or whatever other milestone in life. And life has gotten harder and harder and more expensive. And I said, I got to do something. My life is good. I don't need to do this, but I have to do something because I don't like the way things are going. And so I knew this race was coming up and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I could have run for something else, but I said, nope, I'm going right for this because I've got to get down to Washington. I've got a lot of experience in government, certainly in federal government. And I said, I'm doing it. I'm going to go for it. And wouldn't you know, 5 days later, Gold Bar Bob was indicted, right? So I knew then, well, this is the right thing to do. I mean, here, Bob Menendez, Gold Bar Bob, has been, you know, exhibiting corrupt behavior. Of course, he was acquitted before for a lot of years. And I said, that's not what these positions are about. When you run for the U.S. Senate, this is a public service position. This is not Millionaire's Row, where you learn how to become very wealthy. That's not what this is supposed to be about. We are supposed to be serving the people, figuring out what's going on with the people in our state, listening to them, visiting with them, and then heading down to Washington and saying, look, this is what I need to do to represent my people so that my people have a life that they can be proud of, that they will be happy with. One, they understand they're going to have to work, but that they achieve something at the end of that. So that's what drove me and what is continuing to drive me every single day. I've got to do this for New Jersey. I don't want it to become another California where everybody's moving out.
Now, it's unclear at the moment if the incumbent Senator Bob Menendez will be your opponent, whether he's going to run or not, or whether he will even get through the nomination, although he, at this point, has said he hasn't given any thought to not running. So at this moment in time, we have to assume he is running. So put that into his perspective here. He's been in office since 2006. Democrats have held on to these seats for decades. The last time a Republican was elected to the Senate in the state of New Jersey was 1972. That's the year that Richard Nixon was elected. How do you plan to overcome this history?
Well, people have to look around and have to look at their own lives and see what's going on, right? So it's very simple. This past year, electricity went up in New Jersey 25%. Natural gas went up 20-some-odd percent. The cost of water went up 5%. It keeps going on and on. Gas at the pump has tripled. I mean, it's much more than people were used to paying. People are having a hard time buying groceries. You have to decide whether you're going to buy cleaning products this month or you're going to wait because you need groceries for your kids, right? This is an important factor, understanding what people are going through. This is not something that Bob Menendez understands. He spends his time down in Washington, D.C. He has spent his time making sure that he was taken care of. He comes back to New Jersey. He's not visiting people. He's not going around and checking on people and saying, hey, what's going on in your life? He goes up to his safe enclave. That's where he goes. And that's not how it should be. You know, Joey, even when I became mayor, every single year I go and knock on doors when I'm not running. I go and knock on doors and talk to people and say, how are things going and how do you think I'm doing? What do we need to do differently? And when people complain, I explain it to them because they're not always right. None of us are always right. And so people will be unhappy with something and I'll say, you know what? That's not a service that we can provide because your taxes would go up so much if we provided that service that you would really not be happy. So he's got to run because he needs to show people that he's the senator, right? And he's not corrupt. I dispute that. I think everybody disputes that. I think his behavior has been abhorrent for a lot of years now. And I want to see him run, and I want to see him answer to the people. And the judge for him and his crimes should be the voter. That's who should decide. Because if he doesn't run, all of this is going to get swept under the carpet. And all of these Democrats that have supported him for years, and even in 2018, when he was accused and he snuck out of that one, they all stood by him and they said, yeah, Bob, you're still strong and still going on, right? I want some of your power. Stand with me. Well, now they're trying to sneak away and they're trying to say, no, you should step down, because it's easier for them if there's not a bad news story every day. He should run. He is entitled to due process. I'd like to see that for him. He needs to prove his innocence if he's innocent, but he needs to do it in front of the people of New Jersey.
I know you said that you want him to run, which is quite the opposite we've been hearing for both Democrats and Republicans in the state, who for the large part have been calling for his resignation. A majority of New Jersey voters want Senator Menendez to resign. He only has an 8% approval rating at the moment, according to the most recent poll. You have not called on him to resign. I know you think it would be, you know, he has a lot to answer for. It's going to be, you know, shoved under the rug if he doesn't go through another election campaign. But the fact is, he, although he might not be the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee at the moment, he has to temporarily step down from that as part of the rules. He still claims he has access to those briefings, although he wasn't at the last Israel briefing. Based on what we know, he still has access. Do you really want him in power for another year and a half, given these allegations that you're talking about, and being a sitting United States senator?
Do we really want Joe Biden in power, given the accusations against him? I mean, this is a quid pro quo on that front, right? If Joe Biden can continue to be president, considering all of the potential corrupt behavior and the kickbacks and all of the Hunter Biden payoffs that Joe has been benefited from, well, why should Menendez step down? Why shouldn't he also? Look, we have a process of justice in this country. Unfortunately, it's become a process of a two-tier justice system. He needs to go through this process. Everybody needs to see it, right? I mean, if he doesn't, he'll just sneak away. They'll just give him some deal. There'll be no punishment, no penalty. It needs to be up front and center so everybody sees what's going on. The biggest thing that I see in this country that has happened is people have forgotten the difference between right and wrong. And we were all taught that as children. It's basic. It's common sense. You should know the difference between right and wrong. He likes to gild the lily. It's become gray matter. He needs to stand up, take it like a man, and stand up in front of the voter. That's what he needs to do.
You mentioned the president and his current troubles at the moment, his legal troubles, especially with his son, Hunter. The House has launched an impeachment inquiry into the president regarding these foreign business dealings. Is this something you support? I know you said there's got to be a process here, but do you support the aspect of an inquiry being launched?
Absolutely. Anytime there is a question about corruption, about illegal activity, there should be an inquiry. And you should, as an elected official, you should be somebody who can stand up and account for your behavior, account for your ethics, account for your morals. There's nothing wrong with an inquiry. It should happen, and it should happen with Joe Biden, because there's too many questions.
Now, at this point, it is just an inquiry. I will point that out. Some members of Congress said there's enough to impeach him right at this moment. Are you there yet to the point where it's time to impeach President Biden, or are you just kind of sitting back and want to see all the evidence come out?
No, they've got to have the evidence. I mean, you can't just impeach because you feel like it. And I'm not sure that they have organized it enough where they can say we definitely have an impeachment process that is ready to go. So we've got to wait and see exactly what they have.
I want to go back to your possible opponent, Senator Menendez. He did his first interview since being indicted with NJ Spotlight News last week, where he once again pushed back against the charges, saying, quote, "The reality is I'm innocent," close quote. He also said the government presented this in the most salacious way possible, the most sensational way possible, in order to have the desired effect that they have temporarily achieved, close quote. Is this merely sensationalism?
I don't think so. I mean, right now, I think it's pretty obvious. And I think most people at this point, frankly, have seen the video. You look at their behavior, there is a pattern. There's nothing sensational. He's gotten away with it in the past. And so, of course, he feels that it's sensational. But, you know, even his wife killed somebody with her car just a couple of years ago. You go look at that video and you see no remorse. You see no, there's no emotion whatsoever. That says something to me. That says that these are people that are not used to following the normal rules that regular New Jersey people follow. And that is a problem. The people in this state need to be represented by somebody who understands that life is not so easy right now. They need to understand that people are struggling and that they shouldn't be in a position where they're using it to strictly benefit themselves. That's why I'm running. My goal is to show people that there are folks out there that want to really run and represent the people and show that there are morals, there are ethics, there's people that want to contribute hard work and not just do this to be on Millionaire Row.
Let's talk about campaign strategy. There's been calls in your party to move towards different methods of voter turnout other than the traditional election day in-person model. Many in your party, including former President Trump, who was once skeptical of vote by mail, have said Republicans should be using this method. The state of New Jersey implemented early voting a couple years ago. Are these methods going to be part of your voter turnout model?
Absolutely, sure. You know, it's very simple. People have to, life changes constantly. And this is what we have. We've got vote by mail, which is a very easy system for people that are not comfortable going and voting every year at the polls. We've got early voting for people that can't predict where they're going to be on that day. People should use whatever method is available to them to get out and cast their vote. It's really important that people vote. We've got years. You've got the off years, and this is an off year where people just don't vote. They don't bother because they don't think it matters. It matters. It matters. People need to get out and use any method that they're comfortable with. And so that will definitely be a part of my campaign plan.
In regards to getting your message out there, obviously you're a traditional door knocker. You're not someone who's afraid to go talk to the people, even if it's people who may not be so friendly to you. But a statewide campaign, it's a much different dynamic. There's a lot more methods that have to be used in order to reach people. What type of methods are you using? Are you going to be doing social media? Are you going to be going to big events? Are you going to be doing TV ad buys? What's the game plan?
Yes, 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 and yes. We're going to employ everything possible. My goal is to get out to the people. My goal is for people to understand and learn exactly who I am and what it is I want to deliver. And I want to talk to people. So there will definitely be door knocking because I love that. I just love getting out and talking to people. There will be opportunities for me to go and speak to folks, not just on the Republican side, but on any side. People at churches and at chambers of commerce, people that live here and are dealing with the crippling effects of this economy right now. And so we will employ earned media. We will employ paid media. We're going to do it all, everything just to get out so that people know exactly who we are and what our goals and objectives are for them.
I want to talk about the issues of the day down in Washington. Mike Johnson has recently been elected Speaker of the House. One of Mike Johnson's promises he made when running for Speaker was that Congress must pass a continuing resolution going forward if there isn't an agreement about what the budget would look like to avoid a shutdown. This would mean spending levels would stay the same as the previous year, but some members of your party in Congress have come out against the idea of a clean bill maintaining current spending levels, even if it only meant keeping it that way for half the year. So let's say the deadline is September and it gets extended to April until everybody figures it out. Some members of your party don't want that. Now, I know you're running for Senate, different chamber, different rules, but do you think that every aspect of government should be running like this, where there's a deadline and there has to be a budget passed or something passed in order to avoid a government shutdown?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple to me, and I love boiling things down to Main Street level. You've got a lot of people in life, and I mean, you probably have some people, Joey, in your own life that are procrastinators, that don't read the materials that they're supposed to read within a certain time frame. We have to stop that. If you're going to sign on for these jobs, you're going to run for election, this is a job. This is a public service job. You've got to do the work. And so there's no reason why a continuing resolution shouldn't be passed. There's no reason why we have to stop the government, which is extremely inconvenient for some people and painful for others. It doesn't have to happen. People have to do this job. They've got to read the material. They've got to put the time in. They've got to meet with their members. And they've got to get the job done. And there should be deadlines if that's what it takes. If that's what we need to do, let's put the deadlines right on the calendar. People do that in their own homes, right? You know when you've got to pay your taxes. And if you don't, guess what? There's a penalty. Well, maybe there should be a penalty. Maybe there should be a personal penalty on every member when they do not pass what needs to be passed or a continuing resolution so that we have a budget in place. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
You talk about personal penalty for these members. What would that look like? Would that be being thrown off a committee? Would they have to pay a fine? Would they have to not take pay? What would that look like?
You know, it's interesting. It probably should be a little bit of all, right? I mean, because if they're subjecting other people, federal workers who are not getting paid, well, maybe they shouldn't get paid. Maybe their health insurance shouldn't get paid, right? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, they need to understand how this is really, really impacting people. And there could be a fine associated with it, right? I think if people do the job, then they get rewarded. It should be that simple, right? And the reward is you get to continue to do the job.
Congress is currently approaching a key government spending deadline. If Congress can't pass a budget for the next fiscal year, the federal government will shut down. What government spending deal would you like to see Republicans make with the White House?
For me, it's very, very simple. And I think it's pretty becoming very obvious to most people. The overspending without any planning has gone overboard. It's not the way we work in a municipality. It's not the way people work in their homes. You can't afford to do that because what happens? You rack up debt. Well, in your own family budget, you got to pay that debt off. They don't just let you off the hook. But we keep racking up debt because we're not paying attention to what really needs to be paid for. We are passing all sorts of bills with lots and lots of price tags attached to them without any planning in place. I mean, if you look at something as simple as the Ukraine war, simple, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars committed to that. Okay, but where's the plan? Where's the withdrawal plan? How long are we going to keep doing this? Why isn't Europe fully contributing what they should be contributing? I mean, they're much closer geographically than we are. And this is the same thing down in Washington. Where's the plan? These things need to be thought through. And I just don't feel like they are. I feel like people are no longer doing their homework. Maybe they're spending too much time on TV or on trying to profit for themselves. People need to get back to working for the people. It's that simple.
You mentioned funding for Ukraine. The White House is seeking an aid package that includes funding for both Israel and Ukraine, while House Republicans say they should be standalone bills. Would you vote for an aid package to Israel if it contained funding for Ukraine?
I don't see why we can't pass standalone bills. Because, you know, when they pass these omnibus bills, there's all sorts of things in there, all sorts of things that don't need to be in there that are driving up the costs. Single issue bills should be a main focus for Congress going forward because it is transparent and people see exactly what the money is going to. It shouldn't take any more work to do two different bills, one for the Ukraine and one for Israel. There's no reason why we can't do that. And nobody has explained that to me as why we can't. But you see, the White House, when they combine things, they get to hide other things in there. We've got to stop it, and it's got to stop now.
Last thing before I let you go, former President Trump, along with other Republican candidates, have called for Palestinian college students who protest Israel's actions in Gaza to have their visas revoked. A bill in the House introduced called the Gaza Act would prohibit the Biden administration from granting visas to holders of Palestinian passports. Is this a piece of legislation you could get behind?
You know, I'd have to really see what exactly is in that legislation. I think that these protests that are going on are heinous. I think that they're completely misguided. I think that they are taking their Palestinian movement and forgetting that Hamas is a terrorist organization and the atrocities that Hamas carried out on poor, innocent Israelis, who frankly, Israelis are from all different parts of the Middle East. They come in all different colors. And that's exactly what they did. These poor young people that were at a music concert, they were at a music concert, right? They have beheaded people. They have shot people. They have tortured them. Why? Because it's Hamas, and their goal is to eliminate all Jews. The folks here in this country that are having these protests, they either are going to understand that or they're in favor of Hamas. It's that simple. And so I don't know what would be in that bill, but I'd be certainly willing to read it and see what it means.
Well, we'll have to see where this all goes. New Jersey Republican Senate candidate and Menham Mayor Christine Serrano-Glasner, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Joey, thanks. It was really fun to spend some time with you.
With Congressman Andy Kim running for Senate, this leaves an open seat in the 3rd Congressional District. Candidates on both sides are eyeing the race. A few have already jumped in, including Assembly Majority Whip Carol Murphy in the state legislature, former Republican candidate for Senate Shirley Mayakuzik, and GOP candidate Greg Sobinski. So there's some more names are expected to get in this race too, so especially on the Democratic side, we're going to keep an eye on that. What was once a top target for both parties to win has now become more Democratic due to redistricting. Republicans are hoping to beat the odds and to actually win this place, somewhere they haven't won since 2016. While Democrats are looking to play off of a presidential year to turn out votes and keep the seat. Joining me now is New Jersey 3rd Congressional District Republican candidate Shirley Mayakuzik. Shirley, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Joey.
You are now running for Congress after previously running to be the Republican nominee for Senator of New Jersey. What made you decide to switch races?
Joey, I invest a lot in the Senate race, and I am proud of the work we did to expose Bob Menendez's corruption. But the bottom line, Joey, New Jerseyans need a leader with integrity who will fight for economic opportunities, secure our borders, and empower parents. Running in New Jersey's 3rd Congressional District is the best way for me to take on the fight for my state, Joey.
Now, the 3rd Congressional District has been represented by a Democrat for the last 4 years. Why is it time for a change?
Well, a lot of factors make me realize this is the best way to represent New Jersey. But let me tell you what hasn't changed. The needs of New Jersey haven't changed, Joey. I even been in this fight from the day one for New Jersey. We need to take on corruption and reclaim our American dream. That's the most important right now.
But regards to, because as you point out, yeah, there's a lot of the same needs that the people of New Jersey have had. This was or previously a Republican district. Then it flipped over when Andy Kim ran and won it in 2018. But now you're planning on running for it in 2024. Why is it time for a Republican to get that seat back?
Because New Jersey in general, if you realize New Jersey at this moment and also the country, it's important to we just change. Change for good, change for our families, and change for our kids. So it's a moment. It's a very winnable seat. It's a very better seat for me. And then, to be honest with you, New Jersey's our state. Let's fight for it.
You say the seat is very winnable. I want to talk about the makeup of this district. The district has become more Democratic since the new congressional map was drawn up last cycle. President Biden won this version of the district with 56.4% of the vote, and the current congressman, Andy Kim, was reelected last year with about 55.5% of it. How do you plan to overcome that?
Joey, this district is a district with good citizens. And let me tell you, right now at this moment, everyone from this country and then from district and the state is not happy what we have. So it's time to we just change and move on. So it's time for we just have our state back. It's time for we just work together and respect the citizen and work for our state. That's the time. Time for everyone, Democrats, Republicans, Independent. We all need our country and our state back.
It's important to note here that there's going to be a lot of strategy that's needed to take this district back if you were to get the nomination. What's your game plan in terms of getting the message out there? Is it going to be a lot of more social media stuff? Is it TV ad buys? Is it not door knocking? What's the strategy?
Joey, the most important when we campaign in this district and this state is talk to our people. Knock the doors, speak with the citizen over here from this area. So it's one by one, it's 101, walking and listen to my constituents. That's how we're gonna see and feel our state. Because when they say it's blue district, let me tell you, I don't think so. Because what is here, it's a citizen which is not happy what they have at this moment.
You talk about the citizens of that district. I want to talk about your history with the district because it isn't very long. In fact, you recently moved into the 3rd District from Hunterdon County, which is currently residing in the 7th District, which is represented by Republican Congressman Tom Kaine. Are you making this move just to enter a more beneficial race and to avoid having to primary a fellow Republican?
Joey, a lot of factors made me realize this was the best path. But let me tell you what hasn't changed. The needs from New Jersey haven't changed. I have been in this fight from the day one for New Jersey. We need to take on corruption and reclaim the America dream.
Now, I understand that, but in regards back to the question here is that the fact is that you didn't live in this district before, which is, again, it's totally legal. This is nothing illegal or anything of the mind. It's just the mentality of it. Are you district shopping to find a race that is best beneficial to you to where you think you're going to win more than run in an area where it might not be as certain?
I live in New Jersey for more than 20 years, so I know New Jersey. New Jersey is my house. It's my living. 3rd Congressional District is the same. So I'm fighting for my constituents and 3rd Congressional District, but this is New Jersey. So I am home.
Now, it's important to note that you are self-funding your campaign, considering this is a swing district, as you've mentioned, and would receive notable national attention if things get tight between you and a potential Democratic opponent. Are you prepared to fund close to a $1 million campaign if your opponents start to receive money from outside sources? Because as you've probably seen from the last cycle, this race got pretty expensive when Andy Kim and Bob Healey were running against one another.
Let me tell you something, Joey. Right now at this moment, when you just sit in a campaign, I really fund my campaign. I have the source, but the thing is, the most important is how we are going to speak and have contact with our New Jersey's in the 3rd Congressional District. So money is important, but the voters has to be listened and has to be in touch, because that's what's the most important. When it comes to $1 million, whatever money, whatever dollar is supposed to be there, when you have your campaign very organized with the staff I have, so guess what? I'm the one going to be nominated. I'm the one going to win this campaign.
I want to switch gears and talk about what's going on down in Washington. You've said you look forward to working with House Speaker Mike Johnson to expand the majority in the chamber in 2024. One of Mike Johnson's promises that he made when he was running for speaker was that Congress must pass a continuing resolution going forward, meaning like next year and every year onward, as long as he's speaker, if there isn't an agreement about what the budget would look like to avoid a government shutdown. This would mean that spending levels would stay the same as the previous years, but some members of your party in Congress have come out against the idea of a clean bill maintaining current spending levels, even if it meant only keeping it that way for half of the year, basically from like a September to an April kind of deal. Would you support Speaker Johnson's plan if you were in Congress right now?
The House needed, first foremost, the House need a leadership. It's time to get back to representing citizens. I congratulate Speaker Johnson, and I hope he will keep his promises he made, you know, to the Congress for our constituents. But what New Jerseyans are most concerned, Joe, it's about the high living costs we have over here in New Jersey. Also, the immigration system, the broken immigration system. We feel that the American dream is slipping away from our hands. We have to run and reclaim it. That's why I'm here. I'm gonna reclaim our American dream. Whatever policy will be there, I'm going to review when I'm there, reconsider it, and pay attention what is important for New Jersey. And we're just going to move on. I'm going to work for New Jersey, for the country, but most important, representing our constituents, our citizens. Whatever comes to the table, I'm going to evaluate, reconsider it, to evaluate anything, and see what's the most important for us.
I understand you want to take time to review these things once you get in the office. But just to clarify, would you support a type of plan like that to avoid a government shutdown instead of the way things have been, where basically it's right up to the clock, and then if Congress doesn't agree on whatever the spending level should be that the government shut down, would you be open to something like that where, you know, it keeps the government running until Congress can come to its senses?
So, as you know, I'm a businesswoman, right? So as a businesswoman, we have to cut spending. We have to manage the budget you have in order to succeed on your business. The same thing applies for our country. So we have to just sit down and see where we're spending much, and if is that important to cut expenses and cut the government abusing over budget. Either way, we have to just focus on that, and then I support any policy that makes the state and the country spend less and run best. That's my forte. I'm a businesswoman. I think that's what we have to do. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about the country. It's about the state. It's about what is important for our family, for our kids, for our babies, our future. That's what it is important at this moment.
I want to switch gears and talk about Israel. The White House is seeking an aid package that includes funding for both the Jewish state and Ukraine, while House Republicans say there should be standalone bills. It shouldn't be all in one package. There should be an Israel bill, and there should be a Ukraine funding bill. Would you vote for an aid package to Israel if it contained funding for Ukraine?
Right now, let me tell you something. Our ally, Israel, has been the victim of the gruesome and unprovoked attack by the terrorist organization Hamas. I am horrified by the brutality against defenseless men, women, children, and babies. The United States must stand with Israel in defeating and eradicating Hamas once for all. But yes, I think it's important to review anything in order to support what is reasonable for America also. First and foremost, Israel, it is a formal ally of the United States. Second, this war was the result of unprovoked, massive casualty terrorist attack by Hamas. It is comparable to our 9/11, Joe. And finally, we share our common enemy. Terrorist Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization that has committed attack of brutality against defenseless men, women, children, and babies. They will not stop until they are eradicated, Joe.
Now, I know we got to get going here, but real quick, would you support a package that included both Ukraine funding and Israel funding?
Everything has to sit on the table and analyze what is most important for America. It's America we have to stop and think. Even though we have Israel as our allies. Fact, what are we talking about that? We have to sit down and see what is good for each situation. And I commit to evaluate. Once there, I commit to evaluate with very, very, very comfortable way with my colleagues or our House representative together to see what is the most important, where the money is supposed to go, who's supposed to be focused more. But Joey, before anything, Americans first.
All right, well, we'll have to leave it there. New Jersey 3rd Congressional District Republican candidate, Shirley Maya Kuzik. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Joey.
Well, that about wraps it up for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me as always. To stay in touch with what's going on, all you have to do is follow me on social media, which you can do on Twitter at @block_Joey. Again, my last name is spelled BLOCH_Joey. You can also check me out on Instagram at joey.block.39. Again, that is at joey.block.39. Now, in case you are looking for us and you love this show and you don't know where to find it, you can go to the website, which is foxsportsradionewjersey.com/podcast. Again, that is foxsportsradionewjersey.com/podcast. You put that in the browser. It takes you to the podcast page. You scroll until you find in the middle Joey Block. You click on that, and all the episodes will be there. The newest ones at the top and the older ones at the bottom. We typically put out new episodes every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It has been a pleasure. We'll be back again next week with more In the Middle right here on Fox Sports New Jersey.